Time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings at this time, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Hamburger, the editor, publisher of the Timberjades, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. I don't know how another whole week of this crazy winter weather's gone by, but it has. Thanks for being here, Marshall.
Happy to be here, Heidi.
Always going fast. So, speaking of winter, let's talk about one specific highway between Virginia and Tower and what it's like there, 169.
Yes, it's about the worst I think anybody in our area has seen. I mean, and of course, we're all used to rough roads up here in winter. We know that, you know, the frost gets down there and it pushes up certain spots on the highways, and you know, as the winter wears on, they tend to get worse. But this is just the worst that people have seen, and it's really become kind of the talk of the area. And this is really a stretch of Highway 169, basically from where it cuts off from Highway 53, about 4 miles north of Virginia, and then the next 15-20 miles or so up to Tower. And it's just gotten so rough. In fact, the head of the Chamber of Commerce in Tower this week had done a post on the Tower Facebook page, and he had asked people to rate the condition of the road on a scale of 1 to 10, and people kind of just went wild with the question. And, I mean, they got hundreds of comments from people complaining about the situation. And one person, even from Sudan, even claimed that he lost a filling on the road because the the road was so rough. And that was kind of typical of some of the comments that people were posting. You know, it really practically can rattle your teeth out at times. And I think the issue is, we did talk to someone from MnDOT who kind of explained what happens here. And over time, this stretch of road, which hasn't been repaved in a while, you develop cracks that run across the road. And they're quite regular. Seems like it's about every, you know, 30, 40 feet, there's another one of these cracks that runs all the way across the road, and they're all parallel to each other and are perpendicular to the direction of the road. And over time, over the winter, you know, you get moisture that gets in there, and then it freezes, and it's called tenting. So where these cracks are, you tend to get more frost, and that pushes that crack up. And, you know, if you have just a few of these here and there, you know, you don't really notice it that much. But like I said, it's so regular for a good stretch of Highway 169 here now, where it's just boom, 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 boom as you're driving. And it really has become irritating. I mean, you can't really do much of anything. I know my wife, Jody, if we drive down to Virginia, a lot of times she likes to bring knitting along or something like that. Can't knit. There's no way. It's so bumpy. You really can't do anything. She's even tried texting, not when she's driving, of course.
Right.
I'm driving, but she can't even text on her phone just because it's so rough. And we're not the only ones complaining. Everybody is complaining about this road. So unfortunately, there is hope on the horizon anyway. MnDOT does say that stretch of road, or at least a portion of that stretch of road, is scheduled for some resurfacing in 2020. But that means we will have to live with it, obviously, for the rest of this winter and probably next winter, at least, before we see some improvement here. So we're all hoping for new pavement on Highway 169, that's for sure, because it's been a rough winter.
No kidding. And a filling is not cheap. You can't sue the MnDOT for the bad road in your teeth, I suppose. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think so. That would be an interesting one to try to prove that, yeah.
Well, let's move on to another story. Community recreation facility in Ely. That's been something that's been talked about before, but there's a little more interest or a little more going on with it, right?
Yeah, this has been a project, actually, and I don't know that we've really talked much about it in the past, but we've been reporting on it here and there over the last few years. And it's a group that is really interested in having a kind of a regional recreational center. And this would be an indoor facility. It would have, you know, like a large swimming pool. It would have a fitness center, you know, lots of different types of functions in this facility. And they got a big shot in the arm here a few years ago when they received a $5 million anonymous donation. And, of course, that kind of spurred a lot more interest in it because, you know, a facility like this is going to be very expensive. You're talking many millions of dollars. But initially, they tried working out a deal with the school district. They were looking for some kind of a partner for the project. And the school district kind of hemmed and hawed for a while and then eventually decided that it wasn't for them. But now they've since reached an agreement, at least a letter of intent, with the Ely Hospital. And then also now they've brought in a couple other partners, including the Twin Cities YMCA, which, of course, would have quite a bit of experience in operating facilities like this, as well as the Ely Area Ambulance, which I think is probably looking for a new home possibly as part of this. And so, you know, I think this seems like a much better fit. So I think that's why there's more interest, I think, on the hospital side, because, you know, obviously fitness, especially fitness in the winter, which I think this is probably get a lot of use, you know, come winter and folks maybe aren't outside as much. And it'd be a great opportunity for people to, you know, whatever, use the pool or the weight room or whatever you want to do. Or there'd be a gym in there as well, presumably. So lots of indoor activities could be sponsored. And, of course, fitness is all totally integral to health. We know that. And so it all makes sense to have them all kind of together. And so hopefully this will move forward. You know, it's obviously a long-term plan, but I think having the partners now that this group has brought together certainly makes it seem more likely that this will actually advance and become a reality at some point.
Another story this week in the Timber Jay has to do with a new company called Harvest Nation. What is it? What do you know about it?
Well, it's a company that was created by two women from the Boys Fort Reservation, Denise and Danny Paratos. They are proposing to create a company to grow food using aeroponics. Now, you might have heard of hydroponics. You might have heard of aquaponics, which uses fish in connection with growing food. But aeroponics actually involves growing food. It's essentially in the air. The plants don't necessarily have to have much of a substrate. They're usually contained inside some kind of a container that they're generally vertical, and their roots are inside, and the inside of this structure is constantly then misted with, you know, water and nutrients, and that's how the plants then grow. And this method of growing food is very efficient because it can grow food in about half the amount of time as what it would take in, you know, in a typical outdoor environment. You can reduce the amount of time, say, to grow a tomato, you know, from seed to actually harvesting a tomato. You can cut that just about in half, which is pretty dramatic. And then at the same time, because you can grow this food vertically and indoors, you are able to grow much more food per square foot, essentially, than you would in a traditional greenhouse even, or, you know, certainly in the outdoors. So it's a very efficient way to grow food year-round in our area. And they're talking with area restaurants and other, you know, grocery stores, things like that, to find out kind of what types of food they'd be interested in. And then at that point they'll start growing. They figure they're going to start pretty small in a building that they already have, and then and just start expanding from there. But it's a pretty ambitious plan, and if all goes well, it could be a thriving company and help to produce, you know, food locally and generate the wealth that comes from food production.
Okay, before we go, we got to talk Ely again because it's a big day today. Winter Festival begins. What will be happening?
Well, obviously every year the Winter Fest is a big deal in Ely. We've got the snow sculptures in the Whiteside Park. That's always kind of one of the highlights. There's also the art walk. We have dozens of artists who have their work on display in businesses all across Ely, so you can go and get a map of the art walk and check all that art out. That's always a lot of fun. And then, you know, there's just a whole long list of activities that you'll be able to take part in for the whole 10 days. It's a 10-day event. Starts today, Friday, and runs through the 17th of February. So come on up and check out the sculptures and everything else, and you can get more information online. So,
All right, sounds great. That's Marshall Helmberger. It's the Border News Roundup. You can find more information, see photos at timberjay.com. Marshall, we'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.